Good evening. Welcome to the Slayer Report. Today is Thursday, February 21st, 2019. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. I'm in Stavoren in the Netherlands. I flew over on Monday, arriving Tuesday, and it's great to be here. Megacities Asian Consumer Control 101, we've mailed out hundreds of quarterly, and the annual wrap-up is coming. That hasn't gone out yet. And if you were expecting any of those quarterly wrap-ups and you haven't received it, please let us know. You should all have them by now. The annual 2018 wrap-up, we just posted one of our biggest pieces today. It's written myself and our attorney, Carolyn Betts. Caveat emptor, why investors need to do due diligence on U.S. Treasury and related securities. This is a very serious piece for investors, a real framework and roadmap to help you do serious due diligence. The U.S. government debt has now passed the official debt. As you know, I think the actual number is much higher. I think they've been issuing securities off balance sheet, but the official debt has passed $22 trillion. Now, of course, that's greater now than the undocumentable adjustments, which are only 21. But if you look at the interpretation they issued on FASB 56, my guess is one of the reasons they did was to keep the undocumentable adjustments from going over $22 trillion. So it wouldn't surprise me if they put a glass ceiling on the undocumentable adjustments. But still, the debt is growing, and it's growing at an accelerating rate. So we're really in a debt spiral up at this point. It was up 6% last year. It's going to be up 8% this year. If it keeps accelerating, you can see where it's going to go. The next pieces I'm going to finish for the annual wrap-up are the history section and get ready, get ready, get ready, and then we'll send it off to the printer. I'll keep you posted on that schedule. Also, because we have agreed with Saker to take his interviews public after a certain period of time, it used to be a month, but they grew stale, so we've made his last week's interview public, and feel free to spread that out. It was a very interesting discussion. Our theme tonight is caveat emptor and the milk bucket. If you haven't read the 2017 annual wrap-up, which was on pension funds, I would strongly recommend you do so. You can get the PDF and flipbook at Solari.com or just go to pension.solari.com. It was one because our site went down for an extended period last year when the wrap-up, it's very interesting, right after we published the final pieces of the wrap-up. The timing was more than a coincidence, in my opinion. Anyway, but we made it public. Another way to link to it is at the bottom on the homepage, on the right bottom, you'll see the state of our pension funds. And in the cover of that wrap-up, we had a picture of a cow, and the spots on the cow looked like the geography on the map. It was the United States was on their back, but the different continents were all on the cow. And the farmer was milking the cow, but the milk was going down through a variety of pipes to sort of black budget uses. And the cover question was, does your pension fund have a deep state drain? And the obvious answer is yes. But I want to use that milk bucket analogy again, as I've used it many times, because I think if you look at a lot of the noise and the noisy politics happening, it's all various tactics to keep the milk bucket game going. And the reality is what we need to do is the milk bucket game needs to stop. Essentially, what I said in the pension fund article and what I've said with respect to the government budget is there's no point putting more milk in the bucket if it disappears out of a hole in the bottom. If you were milking a cow and there was a hole in the bucket and all the milk that you were milking ran out of the bottom of the bucket, you wouldn't say that the problem was you need more milk, and so you need to milk the cow some more. You would say the problem is you have a hole in the bucket. You need to fix the hole in the bucket before you put any more milk in the bucket. Well, the reality is we have a milk bucket. The U.S. government is a milk bucket and has a hole in the bottom, and money keeps disappearing out of the hole. And whatever the problem is, you can't solve it by putting more milk in the bucket because the bucket has a hole. That's why I keep coming back to the $21 trillion in undocumentable adjustments. When people say there's no money for pension funds, I say, that's ridiculous. We had, you know, we gifted and gave $25 trillion to the banks. We just gifted it and gave it to them. You know, they say that it was lent and paid back. Don't believe it. It's just, you know, how would you know besides because none of the financials are reliable? So the reality is we are now seeing at the Davos meeting and the progressive left pushing heavily for taxes, 70%, 80%, 90%, even some have even said 90% taxes on the wealthy. But the reality is that that's just more putting money in the milk pocket. Why do we need more taxes when we could just get the $21 trillion back? So I say, before you raise taxes, get the $21 trillion back. But if you want to raise taxes, there's no point in raising taxes unless you fix the hole in the bucket. You know, so if you look at the right-left dichotomy, the right is saying, oh, we're going to keep the game going by just moving more government stuff to private sector companies and giving more to the corporations. Well, that's, you know, keeping the milk bucket game going with one strategy. More taxes and putting more money in the milk bucket is just another strategy, but all it does is it keeps the existing game going. Now, the existing game has a negative return on investment. So imagine if you were putting money in a mutual fund and every year it went down. You wouldn't put more money in to compensate for what had gone down. You'd take your money out. Well, we keep putting more money in a negative return on investment system, and it's never going to work until you turn it to a positive return on investment, or, you know, it will continue to just drain and harvest and kill and destroy, you know, until it's got nothing left to destroy and the parasite kills the host. But the reality is you don't see any conversation in the United States between any of the different political factions about how we plug the hole in the bucket. I mean, I hate to say that. This is really coming down to Saleri and our friends saying that, and we're right now, we're the sole voice. But the reality is, I don't care how lonely a voice it has to be, the federal budget and the federal finances are a milk bucket with a hole in the bottom. And whether you use the Republican strategies or the Democratic strategies, it's just putting more milk that can fall through the hole. And it doesn't matter which strategy you get to put more milk in. As long as you have a hole in the bucket, nothing will ever work. And it's so very simple. Anyway, we hope our latest piece, Caveat Emptor, helps communicate this issue to the investors. But I mention this because the craziness of the proposals flying around Washington, whether it's Ocasio-Cortez or the crazies on the Republican side, I mean, they're all equally crazy and they're all equally designed to just simply put more milk down the hole. But nobody's talking about how we're going to create a milk bucket that doesn't have a hole in the bottom. Unfortunately, everybody, whether they know it or not, is working for the guys who are receiving the milk downstairs. Money in markets, I'm talking total yields, total returns year to date. So the U.S. dollar index is up 58 basis points, a little bit more than 0.5%. The long treasury up 58 basis points as well. Intermediate up 60 basis points. The corporate bond aggregate ETF up 1.08. Junk, who can believe it? High yield bond ETF up 6.36%. You have to have courage to stay in something like that. Equities are just flying. The S&P now up 11.4% for the year. So it's more than made up for the down last year. The home builders up 19%, European ETF up 9.38%, Germany up 6.63%, and that's despite the fact that Europe is clearly in a slowdown mode. Growth is slowing here. Developed markets minus North America up 8.95%. The Chinese large caps up 11.31%. That's what's frightening is if you look at the extent of the liberal fiscal and monetary policies to get that 11.31%. Boy, it's just not worth it. Small caps up 11.88% and emerging markets up 9.22%. The commodities index up 7.93%. And finally, precious metals has started to perk up. Gold up 4.31%. Silver up 3.79%, and oil flying up 32.99%, essentially 33%. It really feels like the balloon is expanding everywhere on all sides, and that balloon is the printing press. Stories, very important story out of Illinois pension schemes. J.B. Pritzker, the billionaire of the Pritzker family, has become the governor of Illinois. And there are several proposals floating. One is that private retirement funds be taxed to generate money to fund the state pension funds. The other one is that state government assets owned by the state government should be transferred into the pension funds. So I get back to the milk bucket problem. The Illinois state government for 30 years has been a milk bucket, and money's been draining out in a whole variety of ways. And until you fix the milk bucket, the idea of taxing private retirement savings or transferring public assets is just a transferring public assets is going to be one of the cleverest privatization deals you've ever seen, because they won't say, oh, no, we're turning these assets over to corporations. They'll say, no, we're funding the pension fund. And then the pension funds will turn around and say, oh, well, we have to sell the assets to fund the pension fund. It's going to be a very neat trick. Again, nobody's talking about, well, wait a minute. Why are the pension funds so underfunded? Where has all the money gone? Whether in the pension fund, you know, financing the mortgage bubble, et cetera, same as CalPERS, or was government not run properly? So until you can engineer the machinery so it's positive return on investment, it's a complete waste of time to put more money in it. It's just going to roll out the bottom. The fundamental governance structure of any governmental entity, with rare exception in this country, my state being one of them, does not have an integrity. And there's no point in putting more money in until it does have integrity. Why is this so hard to understand? You can tell I feel like ranting tonight. The Fed, one of the Fed banks published a piece on negative interest rates. I posted it up on the website. The Fed has been aggressive at raising rates or following the market as the market raised rates. They seem to now be concerned because clearly we're going into a recession. All signs are very clear. And they, you know, I'm sure one of the reasons they wanted to raise interest rates is they wanted to make sure that they had the necessary monetary capability of expanding if they needed it. They needed to get back in a position where they had some bullets to shoot if the economy went down. The problem is, of course, if you look at how much they normally drop interest rates when we're in a recession, it's at least 250 basis points. To do that, they're going to have to go negative. So I find it very interesting that you have researchers at the Fed coming out with papers on negative interest rates. But it could happen. The recent month or two of monetary basis, clearly deflationary. Trump signed the space directive. So clear indication, space is going to stay underneath the Air Force. No independent space force yet. So it looks like the Pentagon and the White House have finally reached some kind of accord on the space deal. Jedi Wars. Interestingly enough, we see the back and forth I discussed last week about Bezos, including Amazon canceling its plan to build a headquarters in New York. Right after that, literally one or two days, the Department of Defense files a stay in the lawsuit where the Jedi contract, $10 billion cloud contract, is being litigated by Oracle, among others, who wanted the DoD to split it into more than one contract, so then Oracle could have a chance of winning. So instead, DoD has said all along, no, we're going to award this to one party. Well, if you have Amazon already having 17 intelligence agencies in its in the cloud, and then you get DOD, all of its stuff in one cloud together with the intelligence agencies, then you create the basis of a tremendous ability to re-engineer federal payment systems and federal sort of cash flows and even logistics delivery through the Amazon or a shared cloud. So who gets this cloud is very important. It's a $10 billion contract, but I think if the re-engineering that I anticipate will happen through this contract happens, it's going to be worth a lot more than $10 billion. So needless to say, the state of play and competition over it is quite something. One of my questions is the dish out and dirt of Bezos with his mistress designed to threaten his chances of getting the Jedi contract? Amazon's still in the lead, but DOD going in and asking for a stay to investigate conflicts of interest related to a DOD employee who left and went to Amazon, pretty interesting. So we'll just keep watching the Jedi Wars because they're important. China, as I said, has had very aggressive monetary policy, and it's worth taking a look at Kyle Bass's Twitter feed. He's very frustrated about how aggressive their monetary and fiscal policy has been in terms of sort of bubbling the economy. And there's no doubt the China bubble is pretty significant. Saker continues to do interviews on Venezuela. I talked a lot with him when he was on last week about Venezuela, but he's clearly digging. He did another interview with Michael Hudson and then interviewed one of the Venezuela's ambassador recently. You might want to take a look. I've been reading David Stockman's new book, and it has a lot of interesting points about the expense of the military. Essentially, because we have a global military and a global empire, we are gaining cheap access to natural resources all around the world. And the real question is, what are the benefits financially versus the cost of keeping it going with the military budget? And Stockman tries to unpack those numbers. And his case, which, and I think he makes a very good one, is, you know, $500 billion a year of that is on a global role. And it may not be so economic, but it's interesting. He also gives some very good arguments about why the wall is not such an economic idea. So it's worth taking a look at. He's very much of the opinion that given what's going on with the Social Security system, you need lots of young people coming from Latin America. Andy McCabe did an interview, the former acting head of the FBI, and then before acting deputy, he was fired for lying. So it's clear he's not a person of extraordinary integrity. You can tell from the interview. So the question is he telling the truth this time? There's no way to know. One of the things he said is he started the investigation of Trump. He had a legitimate reason to do it. He didn't mention, to me, there's one legitimate reason to start an investigation on Trump and the Russians, and that's the Trump's relationship with essentially Russian organized crime, which you notice never comes up. Everybody's really quiet about it. And the only reporter I know who's covered it is Russell Baker. And so if you're interested, you can check out what he's got on his website. But it was interesting. McCabe didn't say Bo Peep about the legitimate reason to do an investigation of Trump. He just said he just had legitimate reasons for doing it and didn't say what they were. The exciting part of the interview was he said that Rosenstein had broached the subject of a 25th Amendment impeachment of Trump and said he had the votes of two cabinet members. So what that's implying is the deputy head of the Department of Justice is basically coordinating with cabinet members to figure out how to throw the president out of office, which is quite an extraordinary statement. Rosenstein has essentially denied this, but it's hard to believe listening to McCabe that it isn't true. But you certainly see the Midianite thing happening among the various folks at the Department of Justice who were busy using the NSA system to help Hillary Clinton get elected. And then when she didn't get elected, when Trump got elected, trying to come up with some pretty bizarre plans to impeach the president. And I could have told him it wouldn't work. You kind of wonder what in the world they were thinking. But the reality is it's a beautiful example of how lost in the bubble everybody in Washington is. Our interview this evening is with Walter Bosley. Walter has written three books, Empire of the Wheel, Empire of the Wheel 2 and 3, including on the airship mystery. The airship mystery refers to a period in 1896 to 1897 when there were over 1,000 documented sightings of airships landing, mostly in the western part of the United States, from all the way from Michigan to California. And this is a heavily documented phenomena. And in fact, the more you dig in, the more you realize that we were all taught, in at least in America, that flight began with the Wright brothers in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina in 1903. It just ain't true. There's been, if you go back even through ancient history, ships have been flying around this planet for many, 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 many centuries. And if you want to identify the breakaway civilization, the seeds of the breakaway civilization go back much further than World War II. So if you want to have your high school paradigm blown up for good, just listen to Walter. I recommended for the movie this week that we put up his presentation at the Secret Space Program 2015, and we discussed that in our interview. But understanding the airship mystery is a very mind-bending experience, but it's a delightful one with many interesting characters. As I said in the commentary on the blog, you have serial killers, murder, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, John Jacob Astor, Tesla, the sinking of the Titanic. You couldn't make this stuff up. And in fact, Walter's working on doing I think it's for the History Channel, a TV show, and This is going to make for a great TV show. Our hero this week is the Missing Money A Team for the 2018 annual wrap-up. In the section on the missing money, I put up a list of all the people who've made significant contributions to keeping this story front and center and have done so at great cost, great risk, great investment of their time and effort. And they're all heroes in my book, of course, including Mark Skidmore, the many people on the Solari team who've helped. And it's quite a significant roster. You have a number of great reporters who've done great work. One of the people on that team is Rob Kirby. Rob hails from Toronto and has significant experience in both the precious metals and the fixed income and derivatives markets. And he's been one of the people who've been most supportive of digging in, investigating, and keeping that story front and center. And I wanted to ask for prayers for Rob. He has some serious lung trouble as the cold went through in the northern climes. He lives in Toronto. He got some kind of lung infection and has been in the hospital for quite some time, a couple weeks. And I asked his permission that we would all pray for him. So I would ask your prayers for Rob Kirby. He's just an amazing, amazing man. And in my book, a real hero. He's one of my favorite people in the financial markets world. So keep the prayers coming for Rob Kirby and for the whole Missing Money A-Team. These are people who've done tremendous work, and I know how much they would appreciate your appreciation. Ask Catherine. Hello, Catherine. Found this article that substantiates your view about our private prison system. Our mind control complex is hard at work. And then there are links to articles about an industry leader who wrote anonymously about a meeting in the early 1990s where music industry leaders were called together and asked to basically turn rap into something that would make the African-American community look very criminal, but also encourage young people to be involved in crime. I've never known whether the story was true, but I absolutely believe it could be. That doesn't make it true, but it certainly fits with what was happening, and I believe those meetings existed. If you want to understand why, read my story, Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits. I explain it pretty succinctly. I often tell the story of the Deputy Assistant Secretary during the Clinton administration who explained to me, black people are hopeless, we're moving them out and moving Hispanics in. And it was all very engineered cross-sector so that it could be done in a way that everybody would make money on the prisons and the on the real estate and the contracts. Hi, Catherine. In this prior email thread, I've asked if Catherine would be open to having a conversation with Scott Smith. He is the author of The New Operating System for the American Economy. I've ordered the book, but I haven't read it, and I can't read it. It hadn't come. Hopefully it'll come before I get back. So I'll be back in the United States in April and take a look at it and let you know, but I very much appreciate the thought. Then there's a long message about Elliot Abrams' involvement in the Iran-Contra affair. We have several Iran-Contra players coming back in now as the Bushies work their way back into control of the machinery. So it's probably not a bad idea to do a Salir report on Iran-Contra. I'll think about who I could do that with. And then the final questioner response was someone talking about a new, putting me onto a new book on the Kennedy assassination called Johnson Did It. And they say it's quite fascinating. And I believe you that it is. At the same time, there's been a whole spate of books implying that Johnson was in the lead on the Kennedy assassination, which is absolutely impossible. The money guys ran the assassination. They were at the very top of the food chain, and that's the wonderful thing about Talbot's book. Johnson was not he was a player in the assassination, but he was not a major player. And the perfect example is the way he got sort of hung out to dry by the people who really led the assassination at the end of his presidency. So I think, the establishment knows that the lone nut Oswald isn't going to work anymore. So they're looking for somebody high enough in the establishment that they can use to hang out. And that's what they always use the puppets for. The puppets are always the fall guys. It's the guys who are invisible behind the scenes who have the real control and power. So the chances that Johnson was the guy who did it, in my opinion, are 0%. But anyway. But I believe you when you say it's a good book. Anyway, so I appreciate the comment, but if you haven't read Talbot, please, please do. And remember, he doesn't really give up the sort of chain a command at the top until the last two chapters. So you have to make it all the way through. It's a pretty long book, but beautifully written. Okay, that's it for this evening. As I said, I'm in Stavoren through March 16th. We're going to have our hang in Stavoren 2019 for the last week. And I'm looking forward to welcoming a wonderful group of subscribers to join us here in this community in the Netherlands. And then Nina Hein, who's the author of Food for the Soul, Robert and I are flying to Milan to do a filming to celebrate the Da Vinci 500th anniversary. And then we'll come back to Amsterdam where we'll do something to celebrate Rembrandt's 350th anniversary. I find the Da Vinci and Rembrandt celebrations this year very exciting. Next week, February 28th, we're going to post a conversation with Thomas Meyer. Thomas wanted to talk about 9/11, so we talked about 9/11 and several other topics. And he's published it in his magazine, A Present Age, and we're going to be publishing it next week. It's the last week of the month, so there's no money in markets. And then March 7th, Your Mortgage, Protecting Against Mortgage Fraud with Marie McDonald. If you're in the process of getting a mortgage or expect to get a mortgage in the near future, even sometime this year, this is one that's quite extraordinary. Marie is one of the top forensic investigators in the country, in the world, on mortgage finance. And she has provided us with a wealth of documentation and information that you can use to make sure you really know what you're doing the next time you originate a mortgage. And if you're having any trouble with your servicing, even if you're not having trouble with your servicing, this is information you need to know to make sure your mortgage is something that gives you energy and is not used to really harvest you. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this week. Until I'm back with 2 weeks, but I'll be back with a conversation with Thomas Meyer next week. Please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.